Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Fairy Conclave. This is episode 77. I'm your host, Alec.
My pronouns are he, him.
And I have a special guest with me today. It's Jeremy, slash also known as Coach J-Ro and also Unsummoned Skull. How are you doing today, Jeremy?
Yeah, so Coach J-Ro, the Unsummoned Skull. I've been called J-Ro since I was in high school outside my biology class. It's a coach who made it up.
Nice. I like it. Yeah. Sweet. And so I have you on to talk about kind of something that I have been wanting to get more into lately, which is getting a whole episode to spotlight a creature type that somebody has a strong connection to or a real affinity towards. And I've done a couple in the past. I did Goblins with Cameron and I did Mir with Livy. And I just thought they were so much fun. I think it's really cool to have somebody talk about a creature type that they feel so strongly towards that maybe other people like don't even get a second thought to. So I think it's a really unique thing in Magic. And you're definitely the professional when it comes to kind of weird creature types because you have a whole podcast about it called Quote of Arms.
The idea for the weird creature types that aren't supported by wizards actually came from someone else, and so it came from MJ or Magic in Quarantine, and that episode is going to be on relatively soon about sirens. So my kick of those decks came about when I played against the siren deck, and you'll learn more about that when that episode of Quote of Arms comes out. But the idea being that sirens in mythology have a definitive way of being viewed. Siren's Call was an early card that sort of went with that original view. And so created a deck that had the feeling of sirens. And I thought that was so awesome. So I decided to start to do that with some tribes of my own. I did that with homunculi, with djinn, and, as you know, with elephants too.
That is so cool. I think it's really fun to talk about this because basically, almost every Magic player, I bet, if you ask them if they have kind of a strange creature type that they love or a deck around a creature type, everyone has got one. Like, everyone has a favorite kind of thing and a creature, maybe that even, like, drew them into Magic in the first place. And, I think it's so fun to talk about. And it's really cool when you get into some niche creature types like sirens or oozes is a favorite of mine where there aren't a lot of options. It's not like elves or goblins where you have hundreds of options. So you kind of have to do stuff like that where you have to capture like the feel of that creature without necessarily having, you know, 30 cards in the deck that are actually that creature, which, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, one of the things that I like about these as well is that even the commander doesn't necessarily fit any particular theme or synergy that you can see, and so you kind of have to make it work.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people out there definitely understand what it's like to kind of try to make a strange creature type work when maybe you're kind of reaching into the bottom of the barrel when it comes to the creatures themselves. So yeah, I think it's such an interesting topic to talk about, and so I brought you on to talk about one in particular. But before we get into it, I do want to do our community spotlight for the episode, which for this episode is going to be the Quote of Arms podcast, which is your podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, we gave a little bit of background. But is there anything else you want to say about your podcast and kind of shout it out a little bit?
So Quote of Arms podcast is one in which people come on and talk about their favorite creature types, archetypes, and synergies. So we've had episodes on Burn and Landfall as archetypes and synergies, but we've also had episodes on all kinds of different creature types, including some episodes about the same creature types, but from very different perspectives. The perspective part is, to me, the most important because that's what makes these episodes personal and what makes this a really nice way of looking at the community in a way that I hadn't seen anything done like that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was going to say about your podcast is you have different guests each week and it's kind of an opportunity for them to like come on and talk about something that they love, which is honestly the same premise as what got me started doing my podcast also is I just want to talk to people and You know, I don't want to just read a deck tech on the Gitrog monster. I want somebody to like tell me about the Gitrog monster and why they love it, why they're invested in it, and kind of get it from their perspective. Exactly like you said. So yeah, I really like that about your podcast. And yeah, anyone out there who hasn't listened to it, we'll have links to it in the episode description of this below. So yeah, definitely check it out.
Sounds good. The other thing that I would mention about it is that I am working with an editor on moving it over to my YouTube channel at bit.ly/unsummonedskull. So that has the card images coming up as they're talked about, as well as a neat animation in the background that was made by the Living Cards guy, Jeffrey, who also does the animations for, say, Game Nights.
Yeah, Command Zone and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome. That's really exciting. I know how much work goes into even just the editing of putting card images on screen for a YouTube video is a ton of work. So yeah, that's very exciting. You do other content too. You do stuff for EDH Rec and on Twitch too. Do you want to give a little bit of background on some of the other content you're doing as well?
Sure. So I stream usually Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and then every other Saturday.
Nice.
I'm trying to sort of keep it from getting too much because I took a break from streaming for a while when I got a little overwhelmed. But we usually do Tribal Tuesday, which harkens back to the Coat of Arms. People bring their favorite tribal decks, and then we get to actually see them, and some of them are the same decks that were talked about in the podcast.
Nice.
Work in Progress Wednesday, which is probably my favorite streaming night, because people bring their decks that are unfinished, and we get to have nice Rule Zero conversations before and after on what we were trying to find out, what we actually did find out, what we liked, what we didn't like, and what sort of suggestions we have for each other. I love that communal aspect of it.
Yeah, that sounds really cool. One of my favorite parts of Commander specifically is you have this real opportunity to have three people give you suggestions about what is going on with your deck as you're playing a game. And and outside of playing a game, it's really fun to get suggestions and things like that. So yeah, that's really cool. And also I'll just include a link to your link tree or whatever app you use to store all of your links so that people can go find all these things.
Yeah, I have a link tree on my Twitter.
Sweet.
Which is @coach_j_ro.
Awesome. Yeah, I love it. Okay, let's get into it. So today we are going to be talking about a really fun creature type that when you brought it up, I was like, okay, yeah, we definitely have to talk about this. And that's elephants. So I think a lot of people out there are probably like me who I think maybe one or two cards that either make elephant tokens or have an elephant on the artwork. But that's about the extent of my elephant knowledge. So I'm excited to learn more. So let's get into it with the first question I've got for you, which is, where did you gain your profound love of elephants in the first place?
I kind of like elephants. I like that they're big and strong. An Elephander was one of my favorite Zoids.
Mostly
because that was just a badass Zoid. I mean, it has a sword on the trunk. It's pretty awesome.
Okay, yeah, that's cool.
Otherwise, elephants are not one of my favorite animals. I do like some things that people associate them with, like wisdom and peacefulness and knowledge and memory. So in those ways, I like. So those are some of the things that I like about them. It's not like I was I know giraffe, and I had a giraffe onesie and like loves giraffes. It's not like this is one of my favorites, but I like them enough.
Plus,
Bloxodon's look pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting because I tend to think that for like creatures that exist in real life, I love to see kind of their interpretations of them in fantasy, like in Magic. And looking at some of the cards that are elephant cards, it's really like they definitely did some cool stuff just with the idea of having an elephant be a creature, whether it's like a sentient creature or it's an 8/8 that gives everything trample. I think, yeah, there's some cool stuff there. So yeah, makes sense. I mean, it's just it's kind of a creature type that you don't expect, which is really cool. So
if I'm being totally honest, the idea for this came about because I was kind of jealous of MJ after I saw that deck once, and I'm like, why am I not doing this? I have the podcast. Why am I not trying something like this? And so the secondary thing that I did was then there was a compendium that I found that had a list of all the creature types, as well as the amount of members, and then organized by color.
Oh, okay.
So these were, so this deck was made because I knew that there were enough members of the tribe.
Makes sense.
I have a sort of deck building formula that I use because I'm a college statistics professor and I like to know the odds of drawing anything in particular. And in a 100 card format, that's pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
So I usually go with 30 basics, 10 non-basics, 10 ramp, 10 card draw, 10 mass removal, 10 spot removal, and then 20 either win cons or synergy related cards.
Nice.
Sometimes I'll close out one of those categories if I want to power down the deck a little bit or just focus it a little bit more. So for example, in a turbo card draw deck, I would probably remove 10 actual win cons and just put in 10 card draw spells, so that because I'm going to draw to them eventually. What I did for this deck is I believe I took out card draw because I wanted this to be able to operate at a lower level.
Okay. Yeah.
So I have 30 elephants, 10 ramp spells, 10 anti-mast removal spells, and then I have 10 support spells. Spells that specifically have support on them. The reasoning behind this is that I wanted to have enough elephants that this felt like an elephant deck. And I wanted to have enough specifically that it felt like a stampede of elephants.
Very thematic. I like it.
Like they just keep coming and coming and coming. The ramp part is to make sure that I'm able to get them out as long as I am continuing to put cards on the field. The idea is that eventually I'll be able to smash through for some damage, especially because I played 10 anti-mass removal spells. So they're cards that when somebody else wraths, I say, you know what, not my elephants, because their skin is too tough.
I like that.
And the support cards come in. I like the support mechanic because Hamza was the commander, and we're some plus one counters. I'm trying to put things on the board so that I have a bigger and bigger and bigger board. So it's kind of like they're getting stronger together. But there's also the opportunity to use those same spells politically because an elephant never forgets.
Yes. Okay. That is perfect. mm-hmm. I like it. So my next question was about asking more about what the deck is. And so you have Hamza, Guardian of Ereshkigal, as the commander, and
yep.
Which is perfect. It's an elephant warrior commander, so yeah, that's cool. So if you go to Scryfall and search for elephants, I was surprised there are 66 cards that are the elephant type, and then I haven't looked, but I'm sure a bunch more that make elephant tokens. So that's more options than I was expecting, honestly. That's pretty good.
I am only going with elephant actual creatures in the deck.
Okay.
I do have them from different planes. There are some that are pretty strong. There are some that are very much not.
Yeah, sounds about right.
I'm looking at Southern Elephant and War Elephant next to each other. One of them's a 2/2 with Binding and Trample. The other one's a 3/4.
Nice. Yeah, that is funny. Yeah, it's interesting. A lot of elephants are... they'll sprinkle like one or two in here or there as kind of like a limited vanilla creature, which is kind of interesting because then they do have a little bit of a theme. Like a lot of them have really high toughness, it looks like, is kind of their loose limited theme. So yeah, it's kind of interesting. If you didn't know about the history of elephants and Magic, they're, you know, go through, look at the cards. It has, yeah, a rich history in limited for sure. Cool. And I really like, so your commander deck around elephants, I really like that for one, you stuck to some themes that are elephant based, like that they never forget and that they have a tough skin. So you have like protection spells and things that kind of go along with just that idea. And that's really important. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes, like, I've gone through a ton of iterations of building ooze decks, and when I would play it sometimes, like, it just wouldn't feel like I'm playing these blobby creatures that are like ever expanding and getting bigger and wider. But that's kind of the feel that you're going for. Like, you want to think about your creature type and what they would do if they were attacking you. So yeah, I really like that you kind of have all of that in mind when you were putting this deck together and playing it.
I also made it about as simple as I could make it so that this deck would be easy for somebody to pilot if they wanted to. And one of the trends going on right now is to take a saga that has the three spots and basically say what are three things your deck does.
Ooh, that's fun.
I make elephants, I put +1/+1 counters on things, and I survive wrath effects.
I like it. That's a really good way to think about it. It's something I talk to either newer players or people who kind of like ask me for suggestions on their commander decks. I always ask for like what are kind of the steps that you're trying to go through with this deck. I think it's kind of important to think about, especially the end outcome. Like, how do you kind of want to try to finish the game or build up enough of a presence to finish the game off? Or what is the goal, I guess? Like, maybe it's not necessarily even winning, but what is kind of the goal of your deck? So, yeah, I like that you have, for one, that you have kind of a deck-building template that you stick to, which also, by the way, sounds very responsible with the number of lands. I know I see some decks with way too few lands. So, yeah, starting with a high number, very responsible of you.
Yeah, Frank Karsten just put out an article about that, but I use it that way because people are playing more and more board wipes as more and more board wipes are playable.
Yeah.
People are playing more board wipes. You need to be able to cast your spells, especially early in the game, because the average mana value of a commander has gone way down, and board wipes are everywhere. So you need to be able to cast your commander multiple times over the course of a game, especially if your commander is important to your deck. In this case, the commander isn't terribly important to the deck, but you certainly don't want to be without your commander if it is important to you, which is why I go for so many lands. The other thing I'll mention is we're talking about advice that we give to newer players.
Yeah.
So a couple of the includes that aren't elephants necessarily are Rishkar, Pima, Renegade, and Song of Freyalise among my ramp spells. I have those in there because those work with the +1/+1 synergies of Hamza.
Nice.
They're ways of subtly adding those things in there. Because Rishkar puts +1/+1 counter on each of two target creatures. Since I can split the counters, that reduces the cost of Hamza. In fact, if I do that, then I get rid of his commander tax.
That's really cool.
And then Song of Freyalise, the third chapter of it, puts a +1/+1 counter on each creature I control and super pumps them. Also gives them indestructible, which is something I'm trying to do a few different ways in the deck so that they can keep crashing in and so they can show that pack mentality.
That's a really cool way to just to kind of set the deck up. Yeah, I think that... yeah, I don't know. I think it's just cool that you have the elephants themselves and you've, for one, so I guess what's on my mind is sometimes with creature types like this that are more obscure, it's hard to bring them together around one strategy. So it is cool that you are able to kind of focus in on this +1/+1 counter and kind of like reducing costs and creature spells. Which, you know, it works with the other elephants quite a bit because a lot of them are big and expensive and yeah, look great with +1/+1 counters. They often have trample and things like that. So, yeah, that's really cool. I've never realized the combos with Hamza being able to get rid of commander tax with a couple other creatures that help reduce that. That's really cool.
but at the cost gets reduced by each for each creature with a plus close encounter. So Rishkar can help with that. Song can help with that. Unbreakable Formation helps with that, in addition to the 10 support cards.
Nice.
So
yeah,
it's fairly likely that in a given game, I'm going to be able to cast Tom's ahead of turn 6.
Yeah, that's really cool. I think that's one thing that is really cool about this commander is you don't have to necessarily wait until you get to 6 mana. Which, like you said earlier, the commanders tend to get cheaper mana-wise. So whenever I see somebody playing a 5, 6, 7 mana commander, I always have a little bit of respect for that. I'm like, you're not worried about having to wait to get your commander out. But in this case, you can kind of cheat that cost a little bit. So yeah, I think it's really fun that the elephants have a leader that they can look to that kind of does all this stuff. Okay, so yeah, and we can kind of like use your commander deck as a bit of a lens, I guess, for a lot of these other questions, which I think will be really fun to talk about. And so yeah, my next question for you is, which elephant related card is your favorite? Which one kind of gives you a little bit of joy and makes you want to play elephants?
Terastodon is one that I've been playing for a long time.
Nice.
Yeah. I do love that card because I used to have a polymorph deck that would polymorph into Emrakul, and then
love it.
Ran into the issue of, well, what happens if you polymorph into Emrakul, the 15 drop Emrakul?
Yeah.
And then somebody, I think it was O-Rings, because it's not a spell when it exiles, it's on the battlefield. You go through all that effort, and then just gets O-Ringed. So my response was, okay, well, what if I run Terastodon? Polymorph into Terastodon, and then I blow up their O-Ring and get two of my own lands, let's say. And then I have 15 power, and you have 3 power. I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I was definitely going to mention Terastodon if you hadn't. So I love that's one of your favorites. Yeah, it's honestly like a commander classic, I would say. It's a 9/9 elephant, and when it enters the battlefield, you can destroy up to 3 target non-creature permanents, which is kind of unique in green to be able to take out anything besides a creature. And then replaces them with 3/3 green elephants. So like you said, you have the option of blowing up your own stuff that maybe you don't need and turning it in and trading it in for some more elephants, which is perfect for this deck especially.
Yeah. If I'm going within the context of the deck, an elephant that I really, really like is Venerated Loxodon. I loved it when it was in Standard as well because it enabled white weaving strategies. But Venerated Loxodon has Convoke. It has 4 generic, but you can reduce the generic or the white in its costs. So basically up to 5 creatures. When it enters the battlefield, put a +1/+1 counter on each creature that convoked it, which can be up to 5 creatures. If it's even if it's just 4, that gets rid of Hamza's generic cost.
I think that's such a cool effect. It's really the best case scenario is so good where you just get a free beside like mana wise a free 4/4 that then puts a 1/1 counter on a whole bunch of creatures. I really like that. That's a really cool card, especially in this deck too, because it's an elephant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can always do something like tap down a bunch of elephants, put out Venerated Loxodon, reduce the cost of Hamza and cast them both at the same turn.
Yeah, I really like that. I think I'm always surprised. This is why I love doing episodes like this. Those are kind of like synergies between elephants that I never would have found or thought about on my own. So, yeah, thank you for teaching me about that. I think that was such a cool, cool synergy. Yeah, it's also one of those things that maybe you wouldn't even notice until you started playing a deck like this, and then you kind of discover those synergies and how good they are in a game, which is really cool too.
Yeah, and the biggest thing, the deck has some trouble actually closing out a game, but, I mean, combat, politics, and there are some just straight cards that win the game, which, like a Chroma's Will is in there.
Gotcha. Yeah, I was going to mention, I think one of my favorites here is Aggressive Mammoth. that one is kind of like
yep.
the most feared creature, I think, in kind of people who are just starting out. And I'm pretty sure it was in maybe a welcome deck or something, or like
M19.
Okay, yeah, it was in some pretty early like precons as those like 60 card precons that they used to do. Yeah. And yeah, I remember
trample other creatures I control. I trample for 6.
Yes, yeah, for 6 mana. I remember lots of games. One of my friends had this in a deck, and it just felt unbeatable. Which, to be fair, it's very strong. That like if you have a board presence and an 8/8 trample, suddenly everything else has trample too. Game's probably going to end pretty quickly after that.
Oh, the nice and fair thing is that I'm giving that to elephants.
Right, yeah. You've got a bunch of elephants. You don't have Creator Hoof kind of things going on. You don't have Pathbreaker Ibex or anything. Mm-hmm. So cool. So cool. Kind of along those same lines, what elephant-related card do you think is just straight up the most powerful?
So the cards are good together. Rather gotcha. Rather than being individually powerful, but probably the Lapsodon Hierarch, which is an old school favorite.
Ooh, I don't know if I know this one. What does it do?
It's a 4/4/4 from the original Ravnica. Enters the battlefield, you gain 4 life, so that's already pretty nice and has decent rate.
Sweet.
You can pay a green and a white and stack it to regenerate each creature you control.
Ooh.
So it's yet another one of those anti-board wipe cards.
Okay, yeah, I really like that. That's exactly what you were talking about earlier, where the elephants are trying to protect themselves and protect the other elephants. That's, yeah, that's right up that alley. We'll move on to the next question, which is, what is your favorite elephant-related card art, if you have one?
Probably Southern Elephant, because I like how it shows up. So Southern Elephant is from one of the starter packs, but it shows some men in turbans. It shows that it's got some traditional headdresses and such. So I kind of like that one because it shows elements of culture that you don't usually get to see. Underrepresented groups in fantasy.
I like that too. Yeah, I think that's important. You don't want everything to look the same. And yeah, we want some variety and we want representation. Very important. So yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I think that out of all of the elephants I was looking at in my search, that is not the one I would have expected for this answer. So I'm really glad that we got a chance to talk about it. And are you playing Southern Elephant? By the way, it's 3 and a green for vanilla 3/4. Are you playing this in your elephant
deck? Yeah, all these cards that I'm listing off, I'm looking at them. They're in my hand right now.
Nice. That's awesome. I really like that. Yeah, that's one thing. If I'm playing against somebody with a deck based around a strange creature type like this, and they're able to take like vanilla creatures and turn them into something that is killing me, I'm always like so excited about that. That's such a cool, such a cool deck to build. I think it's super, super cool.
Speaking of vanilla creatures, I actually used to have a Jathan deck, which was the way that I pitched it was, it's the most complicated vanilla creatures you'll ever see.
Sorry, you cut out a little bit. Did you say a jackal
deck? No, Jasmine Boreal.
Oh, that's the vanilla 4/5, right?
I believe so.
Incredible.
Yeah, the goal of the deck was to have the most complicated vanilla creatures ever.
I love that. So did it play like what's the enchantment that gives your creature, your vanillas, like +2/+2? That type
no,
of thing?
Because no, the goal was to make them complicated.
Okay.
If they gain any abilities, they can't use that anymore.
Makes sense.
So I play like a Chromos Memorial and Eldrazi Monument. Just try to give them as many keywords as possible.
That's really fun. I like that concept a lot.
So what does your creature do? Well, it doesn't have anything printed on it. Now, what does it actually do? Okay, well, you want me to give you a list? I would actually have to keep an infinity token and just write out every single ability they had.
Okay, that's fun. I like that a lot.
But it's a vanilla creature. It should be easy and simple, right?
That is really cool. Yeah, it's just a 3/4 elephant. It's not its fault that it has flying, lifelink, indestructible, +1/+1. That is cool. So I was looking, and there are quite a few. You said you don't play any cards in your deck that create elephant tokens.
No, I do have those in other decks, but not
okay.
In
do you have a favorite elephant token or a favorite card that creates elephant tokens, which maybe it could be Terastodon in this case?
Infinity tokens I use for any. So I use Infinity tokens for basically the oddball tokens that come up in a game that I might not have anything, or like clones or copies and such. But most of the tokens that I use are on my streams are actually Cats and Cantrips by Leah C. Anderson on Instagram. They're absolutely adorable.
That's awesome. I love when I'm watching a stream and people are either drawing fun tokens on their infinite tokens or using custom tokens and cool things like that. I think it's such a good way to kind of like customize the board state that you're playing. I'm hoping that episodes like this kind of inspire people, maybe not specifically for the creature type we're talking about, but just, just in general, find a weird creature type and build a deck around it. I think it's a really fun challenge.
And also maybe color shift some popular ones.
Yeah, totally.
30 black birds, so maybe to make a vulture tribal.
That's exactly the kind of thing that we're here for. I think that is, just so much fun. Okay, so I mean, we've talked a little bit about the strategy of the specific deck that you play a lot of elephants in. My next question is, what deck strategies work well with elephants? Do you think it's only kind of +1/+1 counters, or are there other strategies that you've tried? Anything else that you think works well with elephants?
So at this point, there aren't a lot of commanders within the elephant tribe. It's possible that you could try to expand things a little bit, but the elephant tribe is kind of limited in terms of how many members there are.
Yep.
There are only a couple outside of green and white. You could go further into one particular color. I believe there are 32 mono white elephants.
Okay.
34 mono white elephants. And I believe there is Lothiel is a white elephant commander. Actually, one of the things that would be kind of interesting if you wanted to go with a pun would be to have some cards that can trade owners, like Rainbow Veil, which is a land, you tap it for a mana of any color and then pass it to another player, and then call it a white elephant deck.
Okay, yeah, that is good. I like that. I always love a good pun deck, so that is great. I also noticed...
You could put the wedding ring in there.
I like to do an occasional like deck swap or deck building kind of like competition thing, and that is the perfect idea for one. Like, let's do a deck exchange, and also my deck I made for you is literally a white elephant deck. That would be so funny.
Yep, I can see that working.
That is good. I'm going to save that idea for later. Thank you.
Absolutely.
So, okay. So, yeah, my next question I've got for you is, if there were new elephant cards or elephant-related cards released, what would you like to see them do to kind of fit perfectly in with your current elephant deck?
Well, something that's more elephant-like than Song of Frailes. Like maybe fixed Cryptolith Rite. That is closer to Rishkar's ability. So just an enchantment that says creatures with +1/+1 or creatures with counters on them can tap to add a mana of any color. Something along those lines would be cool. And that's not specifically for elephants, but that would be nice for the deck. to be able to run that without having to necessarily run an elf or just have an additional copy of that effect.
I like that. This is, I guess, a moment to talk to all of the Wizards of the Coast employees who are totally listening to this podcast right now. That makes a lot of sense. I feel like having a +1/+1 counter synergy card with elephant flavor is totally, like, those fit together really well. So, yeah, makes sense.
I'd like to see more cards printed with the support ability, considering five of them are creatures. Five of them that I have in the deck are creatures that are not elephants. So sometimes I give me a little bit of a drawing because, yeah, I have 30 elephants, but I do have between 5 and 8 elves, because Rishkar is also an elf.
Gotcha.
Isn't it an elephant deck? After it's an elf deck, yeah. And to that I say, well, elephant sounds like elf, right? It has the E and the L and a PH sound.
Yep. Yeah, you're spelling it out. Like, you've got to start with ELF, and you'll get to the rest of the elephant word later in the game.
Oy, maybe one of these days I should make an elf tree deck and just call them elves and ants. it's an elf ant deck. I thought you were playing elephants. No, I'm playing elves and ants.
Okay, that would be good too. Yeah, I do think, you know, if they never created another new elf card, it would still be one of the best, like, creature types for a long time. I'm a fan of taking some abilities that might normally be on an elf, put it on an elephant, like, make us happy and put that effect on an elephant.
Oh, yeah, one of the series I'm writing for the A-Track, I recently started a new one. And we're looking at the top 10 decks each week.
Oh, nice.
And, yeah, I have a feeling that Laughter is going to be holding its place for a while. Or at least close to it. It doesn't really have to have new stuff coming.
Right. Yeah, it's one of those things where if you have 30 elves in the deck, you could probably cut off, like, 100 of the best elves, then put 30 elves in the deck, and it would still be a really good deck, right? Like, there's so many options.
I would like to see if you take elves in a slightly different route. I've heard of some making an elf deck with, like, Altar of the Brood.
Okay, that's cool.
And making it an elf mill deck.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I'm definitely into something like that.
To me, it just sounds like more the same, but a different win.
Gotcha.
It's still a critical mass of, but you can do some cool things with Whitewood Symbiote, which I'm always down with because it's an unsummon effect.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's right up your alley, isn't it?
Right now I'm actually repercussions of so there's the comment, and I'll give you a card that makes me think of you, or something, that thing.
Oh, nice.
Well,
yeah.
I don't like just copying people, so it is just a comment, and I'll give you an unsummon.
That
right
is,
now,
that's
we're
good.
Up to, let's see, just 85 different unsummon.
Wow.
Just how, in case people are wondering, when I call myself the Unsummon Skull, I have that moniker for a reason.
That's impressive. Yeah, that's another thing I had no idea there were that many of. But I love it. That's great.
Well, they keep printing new ones, and one of these days, I hope that Wizards will eventually let me reveal one. So once we're appealing to Wizards, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, I like to have at least one rant every episode. And we can make those kind of our rants for this episode. More elephants and more unsummons for you to preview.
I am a teacher with my own games club. I started playing Magic because of favorite teachers games club. So it would be really nice. Cool if in a magical teaching and student themed set, if I had been able to reveal a card and have my favorite teacher who inspired me to get into Magic, as well as some of the students that I've inspired to get into Magic, all involved in that moment would have been awesome.
Ooh, that is really cool. I think that's got to be one of the most rewarding things about Magic, is if you're able to get somebody else into it, and you know, they play for years and they're like, hey, you're the reason why I got into this this hobby that I love. I think that that's got to be one of the best feelings in the entire world. So yeah, I'm glad to hear that you're able to kind of, you have the opportunity to bring that to other people. That's really cool.
Well, yeah, I used to be, I was a judge, and so I would run my own tournaments in my games club when I was still teaching in person.
Nice.
And I had prize support from a few different places. So they would be, so it kind of ran almost like an LG, except they didn't have to pay for anything.
I love that. That's great. Yeah, that's a great way to get more people into it as well. Very, like, very easy and chill and low stakes. That's cool. Back to talking a little bit more about elephants. We have talked about a few cards in this category, but do you have any other favorite cards you like to talk about that aren't elephant related, but that kind of like work really well together with the other elephants in your deck?
So one of the cards in there that I like is Captured by Legax, which has support, but it also operates as removal, because the deck doesn't have a lot of removal. The deck is designed around using opponent's removal. The reason why I don't play my own removal, because I want this deck to be one where I could play with newer players. I can play it with more out there theme decks, but also it can play with fairly solid decks that are seriously built and do a pretty good job of acquitting itself.
Okay, yeah.
The Captured by Legax is one of the key, because it is one of the few ways to actually remove things.
Gotcha. What does it do exactly? I'm not super familiar.
It's a pacifism.
Oh, okay.
It's a pacifism that also supports, that can put counters on
cool.
things.
Okay.
Together Forever is another really nice one. That really emphasizes the aspect of elephants that, in terms of the memory aspect, because you help somebody else out, and then at a later point in time, you can choose, so you can pay a generic mana to choose a creature with a counter on it. When that creature dies, its turn, return it to its owner's hand. So it's another way of making it so that somebody else owes you, as well as being more protection against removal.
Gotcha. Yeah, and so I only have one other question, but I'm going to pop in a bonus question for you. Since you've talked to so many people about kind of niche, strange creature types, do you have any kind of like general advice for people looking to build decks around those creature types that you might suggest to them if they're kind of looking to do that? I know you talked earlier about having like a kind of a template for a deck. Yeah. Is there anything else you would say to people looking to build decks around strange creature types?
I would say operate in 10. That's statistically what I recommend, because college professor of statistics.
Nice.
If you can find 10 of an effect that you like, then that's enough to count as a theme. So, for example, in my home deck, the general theme is so homunculi are test subjects, usually in alchemy labs, and they get transmuted into other things as part of experiments. So how do I show that in the game? Well, there are a bunch of different effects that say target creature gain, and so it has base power blank and blank, and then gains this ability. So, like, becomes a 4/4 angel was one of the recent ones that was printed in Streets of New Capenna. There have been more than 10 of those effects, and so that's what enabled me to build that deck.
Cool.
With my Jin deck, I actually had to go into another color, so I had to use a Jin that I think it was Vilda, because on the backside there's red. Even though I don't actually cast it for the backside because it's, I still needed the red in the identity to make sure that there were 10 polymorph effects.
Gotcha.
Because that deck doesn't play straight up removal. It either puts things to sleep, which is something that's thematically associated with Jin, or it polymorphs the target. So if somebody says, can you deal with this creature? My response would be yes, but yes, your wish is my command. Because you don't know what you're actually going to get.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. I like that a lot. And that's good advice, too. I think I have thought a lot about how the statistics of a commander deck are really satisfying because it's so easy to kind of think about statistics in a real world way when you are limited by 100 cards. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. If you have a theme and you have 10 cards that do something for that theme, it's going to be 10% of the deck, so you can kind of count on it being at least that much.
The reason why I go with statistics, some people say, okay, why are you trying to look at a fun game seriously? Why are you trying to apply math? It's because, one, people have more fun when they're allowed, when they're able to do the thing. And two, when you're trying to figure out if the thing is worth doing, the only way to accurately test that is to make sure that your deck is able to consistently do the thing.
Yeah. Makes sense. As somebody with an engineering background, I definitely have been known to go on rants about how important the math and stats are behind putting together like at least an initial list of a commander deck. You can always use kind of like feeling from there, but yeah, that's always been important to me too. So I'm glad you talked about that.
Yep, like with the Avild agenda, if polymorphs can be effective removal, and how they feel as removal, then I have to have at least 10 of them to make sure that I'm drawing one in my opening hand plus 3.
Makes sense.
Because if I'm not drawing them until latent, then I don't really know if they're effective. Because at late in the game, spot removal is effective anyways.
Yeah, that definitely makes a lot of sense. So yeah, hopefully for anyone out there who is interested in kind of like those creature types that might not have full-on support by Magic, like goblins or elves or zombies or something like that, hopefully we've inspired you a little bit that it is really cool to be able to build a deck around creature types like that. But specifically, kind of bringing things back to talk about elephants, my last question for you, Jeremy, is how can we all appreciate elephants a little bit more today?
Well, donating money to the National Wildlife Foundation.
Perfect.
Save the elephants would be a wonderful thing to do because they are dying out. So that would be a thing. The elephants never forget. So think about the elephants not just as... So think about them symbolically, which can also help with building these unusual creature types. So you think about them symbolically, you think about what in different literature, in different IPs, and those could be things that can help create unique experiences. I'd also think about not just what the animal or creature type is like, but also what's the experience like that you want somebody else to have. So with this deck, I want people that are saying, man, these elephants are really tough to kill, because I want elephants to be tough to kill. So thinking about not just what is your type like and how do we get things to thematically be similar to that, but also how do we communicate that in game by the cards we play and the interactions we have with players.
Yeah, I think like there's a surface level baseline where you can think about what your deck is trying to do on its own, but then the kind of like deeper in next level into that that you want to go to is how does this affect the rest of the game and how will other players kind of like experience playing against this deck, and is that like an environment that I want to create and be a part of? That's perfect. Yeah, I think that is a great kind of like note to end this episode on. Everything that you just said, I totally agree with. I think that is a great thing to bring up and think about when playing a game of Magic in any format, and Commander especially. Yeah, and just also to circle back, I think the rant to end this episode on is definitely let's make it all about the National Wildlife Foundation. I'll put a link to that charity if you want to donate. Just donate like a dollar or two to that. I think saving the elephants is a perfect way to frame this episode. So we'll have that in the episode description. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming on and talking about elephants with me. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you.
It's been an honor. Thank you.
Of course. As kind of like one last shout out, would you like to talk about anything you've got upcoming and kind of plug your last links and everything you've got?
So I have new episodes still coming out. I have the Waterborne podcast being adapted to my YouTube at bit.ly/unsummonedskull, where I also have some VODs from my streams, which are at twitch.tv/unsummonedskull, as well as, so I have another series on there that's called Oath and Dagger, which is Oathbreaker edited gameplay.
Ooh, okay. I love all of the content that you're working on and creating. So yeah, definitely keep doing it, but for sure take breaks if you need to. I think we all need to take breaks more often. So
absolutely. Yeah. One of the quotes I got recently about that, if you don't take a break, your body will take one for you, and it probably won't be convenient.
Yep, I fully understand that and believe in that. Thank you for being here, and I think we hit on a lot of topics that we could, you know, make full episodes out of. But
yeah. Well, anytime you want to, I'd be glad to be back on.
Awesome. Yeah, thank you so much for coming on. As far as the Fairy Conclave goes, we have a Discord channel, an Instagram, a Twitter. So all of those links will be also down below. This episode and future episodes will also be coming out on YouTube, so you can check it out on YouTube if you'd like, if you prefer that over other podcast services. And yeah, besides all that, I hope you are having a fantastic day. Thank you so much for listening, and I will catch you all next time.